Well, good morning. Go ahead, pour that first cup of coffee and join us right here at Rosie on the House. It's our goal every Saturday morning to wake you up and roust you out. Make Arizona all come to Rosie on the House with any question you might have about your landscape or gardening here in the 8 o'clock hour. In particular, today we're going to be talking about trees. We've got my wife, sweet Jennifer. She will take your call. If you'd like to get online as we go through the introductions here and be the early bird, now would be a great chance. Any question on trees, 1-888-767-4348. Mike Reish, our broadcast engineer, and Romy, my son and co-host, all here for you, the Arizona homeowner.
Talking trees this morning with John Eisenhower of Integrity Tree Service, who's brought in a special guest, as he usually does, and a specific tree. John, good morning, sir. What are we talking trees today?
Well, good morning. It's great to be here. We've got a good lineup of things to talk about in our Talking Trees program. And I am sharing the studio this morning with a good friend of mine, Jesse Sanchez. Jesse is a certified arborist who works for Arizona Public Service in the utility, the line clearance part of that of the company, and dealing with trees and utility line conflicts. And, you know, we in our tree industry, as a as an owner of a tree company, we are continually facing issues with trees that grow up under power lines. And what do we do? So we need to usually call the utility company to help us if we need to have them maybe do a line drop, cut off the power temporarily on a line that runs to a home or a business so we can trim the trees safely, and then they'll come and put the line back up. Well, Jesse has some good insights on from the utility company's standpoint and some suggestions on what we can do to avoid some of those conflicts. And Jesse's going to be here to talk a little bit about his favorite tree as well.
So in addition to all the great advice you can get from John Eisenhower, and regular listeners are used to hearing, if you've got a power line issue, we've got an expert in today that's qualified in helping you get directed to proper care of, you know, removing those parts of the tree that may be required, or, you know, even how much does it come into underground? It's not like you, in a lot of cases you could just trench and bury the line without hurting the tree as well.
Yeah, there's underground issues too with power lines, but usually those are down deep enough so that when we're doing we usually have to blue stake, you know, call, and when you're doing any kind of excavation work, you need to call blue stake to, you know, locate any utilities. But yeah, the overhead power lines are really our biggest concern, because those are exposed lines, and through direct or indirect contact with those lines, either contacting them with a body part or with something you're holding, or you're contacting like a ladder or a vehicle or a bucket truck.
Yeah, pruners.
Pruners, exactly, but pole pruners with an extension handle. So, yeah, we want to avoid any of those kind of overhead conflicts.
And so if you want to join the conversation, it's 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Before we dive into that, Jesse, tell us about your tree that you brought with you.
Well, good morning, everybody. One of my favorite trees is a jacaranda. The botanical name for that is a jacaranda mimosifolia. You do see them throughout the valley. I like them because of the lavender flowers that they produce a couple times throughout the year, and thought it'd be a good idea to plant one outside the window of my daughter's bedroom so that she can enjoy the lavender flowers.
Size?
They grow 35, 40 feet tall and about 25 to 30 feet wide, multi-trunk or single trunk. They are very sensitive to frost damage at a young stage. I have those challenges with my tree currently. The more mature they are, the more hardier they are, so they can tolerate more freezing temperatures. But nonetheless, a beautiful tree when established. Don't want to over prune them. They are sensitive to heavy pruning. So just kind of let them do their thing and get some periodic information from your arborist on long-term care, and you're going to have a beautiful tree going forward.
And you said it blooms a couple times a year. So is this an evergreen then?
It is a deciduous tree. It will drop its leaves in the wintertime. Yes.
And so when does it bloom?
It will bloom a couple times a year.
Spring, summer, you know, you'll find them blooming even pretty far into the summer, early fall. And it's a beautiful the not only is it a lavender bloom, but it's a large flower too. These trees can be really, really nice, dramatic displays of purple. Regarding the frost-sensitive aspects of that, a lot of the trees we have in the valley do well here, but they're typically more tropical. The jacaranda is from Mexico. I think its native habitat is southern Mexico. And a lot of those, this is probably just about the northern reach of that tree. It's not going to do much better any further north latitude-wise or elevation-wise. But if you can get one established, like Jesse said, after 4 or 5 years, they do really great here.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Talking trees today. On the jacaranda, John, before we get to our calls, in your how many tree with your customers do you take care of that are jacaranda?
Oh, we've got lots of customers with jacarandas. We've got one customer. I just saw her trees last week, and they're huge. They're, 35, 40 feet tall, and they've been in for a long time. So they get hammered back a little bit in the winter, but, we just take that dead wood out and trim them back. Sometimes if it's a light frost, we just don't even trim the dead tips back, because we know within a year or so the new growth will kind of grow past those dead tips and camouflage it up in the canopy, and it's not a real issue. But yeah.
So it's not like you've got a crew of guys on standby when the frost comes to go to every one of your customers that have a jacaranda to quick put some cloth over the top of them?
Well, if your tree's under 3 or 4 years old, you probably should try to cover it if you want to try to save it from some really deep frost. Because it's the deep frost, those several days of freezing temperatures that can really really damage the trees. Sometimes if it's a younger tree, it'll be dead all the way to the ground and you can't save it. But if you can cover them, maybe the frost will only be 2 or 3 feet deep from the tips back, and then you'll have a scaffold of main limbs that you can at least salvage and try to regrow the tree.
Very good. Well, that's, I believe, the first time we've covered a jacaranda in our monthly tree segment. Thank you, Jesse. We appreciate it. Going back to APS and planting trees under power lines, and I bring this up because we've got power lines overhead on the east side of our property, and I want to plant almond trees basically right underneath the power lines. What would be the process now of trying to get those power lines buried before we plant, just so in 15 years I don't have a problem?
Well, getting the power lines buried is going to be a lengthy and very costly process. One of the things that we consider or suggest that our customers do is to plant the trees far away enough from the power lines where they can grow and not be a conflict when they are mature.
So that's a more viable option than just trying to get the power line buried?
It is, versus the cost of burying that line. Sometimes utilities are not going to absorb that cost, and we'll reach out to the customer and ask them to pay for that cost. And when they get a number, usually the consideration is to plant the trees further away.
Yeah, there's
again, take into consideration the overall mature height and width of the tree, and plant accordingly so it stays a safe distance.
Yeah, a lot of times we talk about the right tree in the right place. That right tree, right place concept talks about looking not just below ground and to the sides to see if you're too close to a wall or too close to a hardscape in terms of the root encroachment, but you also want to be taken into consideration when you plant a tree. First, as Jesse said, know the mature height and spread of the tree when you start. Do your research and find out, is it going to be a 50-foot tree or is it going to be a 15-foot tree? But once you've made those determinations and you're far enough away from your hardscapes, the power companies remind us, also be looking up. And look to the side, see if there's a power line there. And if you've got a 35-foot tree, it may be inappropriate to be underneath that power line. So yeah, keep that in mind, and when you're making that tree selection, that you understand the mature height of those trees before you put them in. That being said, a lot of people want to put a nice tall tree so they can block the view of the power pole at the back of their property. And there are ways of doing that. But if you put the tree a little closer to the home, it'll actually get up and grow up and give you that protection a little bit sooner in your line of sight to the power pole. But there are some really good tree varieties like the shoestring acacia, for instance, and the jacaranda, which have more of a, they grow taller than they grow wide. So we call it an upright growth habit. They're not big mushroom shaped trees, and they're really great for actually blocking the view of a power line. We have customers who have a power line in the corner of their backyard, and they'll put a nice shoestring acacia just in front of it, and it'll grow up, and it won't be in conflict with the line far enough away, but it'll be, you know, nice and tall and block the view.
Now, Jesse, what's the worst that could happen if the tree grew into the power lines? I mean, has a tree ever burned down, or is it – I mean, what's the worst that could happen?
There's a lot of safety risks when you're talking power line and tree conflicts. You know, you have the risk of a fire, a power outage. A lot of folks depend on reliable electric power. You know, our first responders, such as our police, our fire, not to mention our hospital. So it's very important that, you know, we keep trees out of the power lines to keep the lights on. When you don't plant the right tree in the right place, it does cause a conflict. And if the trees aren't managed properly, they get into the power lines, cause outage, and a potential for a fire. So there are safety risks to the folks who own the tree, not to mention the immediate neighbors and the community.
And if I'm standing on the ground looking at the property, checking the site, and I look up and I see wires, do I just assume any wire overhead's power?
That would be a very safe assumption. You don't know what is energized until somebody can help you identify that. There are power lines or wires up there that do not belong to the power company, such as cable television and telephone. But again, the focus is treat all wires as energized until somebody tells you differently.
It's like firearm safety. Treat them all as they're loaded. If you see the power line, treat it like they're all hot.
And treat it as energized.
Barbara's in Green Valley, Margaret's and Gilbert, Brett's in Glendale, and an open line for you at 1-888-767-4348. Two of their calls right after this.